versus Holder. Ms. Valenzuela.
May it please the Court, my name is Claudia Valenzuela and I represent the petitioner in this case, Mr. Nelson Benitez-Ramos. Mr. Benitez challenges the agency determination in this case that he does not meet the definition of a particular social group as a former member of the MS who refuses to return to the gang based on his religious beliefs. In its decision, the Board does not clearly state what legal test it actually applied to Mr. Benitez's claim. It alludes to a social visit. It cites cases that it's precedent in matter of EAG, which refers to its social visibility test. And to the extent that the Board would have relied on a social visibility test in this case, that is a test that this Court has rejected as illogical and inconsistent in its recent decision in Gitimi v. Holder. Gitimi discusses the previous test that the Court has traditionally employed in determining particular social groups, matter of Acosta. And under the matter of Acosta test, an applicant can show that he is a member of a particular social group based on an innate characteristic or a characteristic that one cannot change or be required to change.
I'd like to ask you, or what binds this group together other than the fact they are persecuted by current gang members? Because persecution alone cannot create a particular social group.
And, Your Honor, in this case, in Mr. Benitez's claim, his claim is centered around the fact that he refuses to rejoin the group because of his religious beliefs.
Right.
He did, in proceedings below, testify that the other factors would be considered in his claim. He spoke about the fact that he does have tattoos. He is a tattooed individual.
Right.
And he does believe that he would be recognized by other gang members that he knew while he was in El Salvador as a member of the MS. In this sense, he makes a showing. These factors would go to a showing of particularity in his case.
Mm-hmm.
And the Board's social visibility test is a departure from this traditional test in matter of Acosta. And to the extent that the Board was not clear on whether it was applying the social visibility test, we ask that this Court remand so that the Board can apply either a matter of Acosta or a legally sound test to explain why Mr. Benitez's claim fails in terms of a particular social group. We are not asking this Court to find that membership, that former membership in the MS is a particular social group, but the Board should, we're asking that the Board employ a legally sound test in this case, because as the Gitimi Court holds, the social visibility test is not one that is reasoned, and it actually results in inconsistency and conflicts with other precedent. The Board also purports to deny Mr. Benitez's claim, although this, again, is also not clear, on a policy-based rule that it announced in matter of EAG. And this policy-based rule relates to the Board's position that criminal affiliation can never constitute a protected characteristic to show membership in a particular social group. In this regard, the Board also cites this Court's precedent in Bastanapur v. INS. For the same proposition that a criminal class of individuals should not merit protection, is not the type of group that the Act views to protect. But Mr. Benitez asked this Court to refrain from adopting this rule. First, neither Bastanapur or EAG, the facts of those cases are not applicable to the facts of this claim in this case. This is not an individual.
Is there an exception to the asylum provisions of the statute that you're not eligible if there are serious reasons for believing the alien has committed a serious non-political crime outside the United States prior to the arrival of the alien in the United States? Wouldn't that apply to this individual?
Well, Your Honor, that particular bar was not raised in proceedings below to bar our client, Mr. Benitez's claim. And you rightly point out that Congress has spoken to address these policy-based concerns about allowing individuals who have criminal affiliations that they wouldn't even be able to cross that initial eligibility stage. And this is Congress's way of addressing the concern that the BIA purports to make into what really is an extra statutory rule, which incidentally has the effect of potentially preventing otherwise legitimate applicants to be caught in a cast in a wider net than is necessary, where Congress has enacted these bars that would serve to cut these individuals off at that initial stage. In this regard, we ask this court not adopt this policy rule. However, even if the court were to find some reason in this policy-based rule, the board in its decision doesn't really explain how a criminal affiliation rule applies to the facts of this claim, where the applicant has broken his criminal affiliation or any criminal affiliation or affiliation with a gang and refuses to return to that affiliation. That is a different set of facts than someone who is currently either a criminal or has a criminal affiliation. So even if this court finds that the matter of EAG rule is actually a reasonable rule, which we do not necessarily agree with, the court should at minimum remand this case to the board to explain how it makes the leap from criminal affiliation can never constitute a particular social group to looking at individuals who have no criminal affiliation present in their claim. And again, we are not asking this court to reach the question of whether membership in the MS is a particular social group. Rather, we are asking this court to remand so that the agency can either apply matter of Acosta or a legally sound test to the facts of this claim. And alternatively, for the board to give a reasoned explanation as to why this policy-based rule applies in these cases. The board gives merely a one-sentence thought that in its decision that criminal affiliation can never constitute a particular social group. That is not the facts of the case that Mr. Benitez's claim presents.
Is this a sufficiently definable group qualify here? In other words, there may be a lot of people who are formerly members of gangs with all different kinds of attitudes and relationships to the government and so forth. Can we call that a particular social group? Is it well defined enough?
Your Honor, the question of the particularity, what distinguishes this Mr. Benitez's claim from others, In an evidentiary hearing back before the agency, the agency never addressed the other particularity aspects of his claim to determine whether it was indeed a group that has particularity. There are other elements, obviously, in the evidentiary hearing that could be raised around this issue. In terms of what distinguishes him here. Here, he is a person who left the MS, refuses to rejoin based upon conversion to Christianity. He was in the gang for 9 years. He fears he'll be recognized on many levels, and we would posit that is a more discrete group that does not cover everyone who leaves the MS. If there are no further questions, I'll reserve my time
for
rebuttal.
Thank you, Ms. Valenzuela. Mr. Hogan?
May it please the Court, my name is Brendan Hogan, and I represent the respondent, Attorney General Eric H. Holder. In the present case, the petition for review should be denied because the petitioner failed to establish his membership in a cognizable social group. While counsel has posited that the board did not apply the Acosta test, unfortunately for him, for the petitioner, the board did apply the Ninth Circuit's decision.
How do you distinguish our Sepulveda case, which I noticed you didn't cite, although the...
Yes, Your Honor.
Relied on it.
Yes. While we did not cite Sepulveda, we did address Sepulveda's holding, which was that a former status as a former member of a group can be a group in and of itself, and that was addressed on point in the Ninth Circuit's decision in Arteaga, namely, as in this case, mere cessation of activity in and of itself is not enough to establish merely disassociating oneself from a criminal group is not enough to establish one's membership in a new group.
What if it were in a criminal group?
Unfortunately for the petitioner, that's not the case here, though, Your Honor.
I'm asking you a hypothetical question, obviously.
Perhaps, Your Honor.
What do you mean, perhaps?
Depending on the facts of that case.
Well, does the board accept Sepulveda?
Absolutely, Your Honor. Okay. As a matter of fact, the agency addressed...
So the difference between Sepulveda in this case is that membership in the Attorney General's Office of Colombia is not criminal. So is that the only difference, that if the group of which you are a former member is criminal, then you're not entitled to asylum? Is that the only difference, or is there something else?
It's not the only difference, Your Honor.
What are the other differences?
For one thing, Your Honor, the difference is that... Well, I would like to correct myself. It is the major difference, Your Honor. It's that the petitioner's 9 years of behavior, criminal behavior, which he admits to in both his asylum application and in the interview he gave to a journalist, which were both in the record, his criminal activity is
but
not...
But is there some rule that if the group you belong to and of which you're now a former member targeted for retribution... is illegal, that therefore the social group designation is inapplicable? Is that your position?
Are you asking for, is there a statutory?
Is there anything?
Well, that was the point of the board's holding in both EAG and the Ninth Circuit's decision in Arteaga. It's that the group's conduct is so adverse to the Immigration and Nationality Act that they should not be given refuge under it.
But how do you square that with the fact that there's a statute which denies asylum to former persecutors, not to all former criminals?
Yeah, yes, Your Honor. You're referring to the persecutor bar? That would not be applicable in this case.
Of course not. My point is, if Congress thought persecutors shouldn't be given benefit of asylum, even if they faced terrible things, if they're sent back to their country from which they've come, but didn't make a general extend this bar to other criminal activities, doesn't that suggest that Congress, at least, doesn't think that having a criminal a past should disable you?
No, Your Honor, for two reasons. First, there is the bar to eligibility for withholding removing for criminal activity, particular serious crime.
Well, that hasn't been invoked here, though. Yes, that's like the persecutor thing. There are definite bans on people who have engaged in criminal activities, but where is there some rule that if you've been a member of a criminal gang, maybe you haven't engaged in any actual criminal activities. You were just a member of the gang. But that seems to be disabling on your view.
Well, yes, Your Honor, for two reasons. First, the board's decision in this case making restricting people who engage in criminal activity from eligibility for withholding removal is necessary despite Congress's statutory bars, because in this case there would be no way to bar the applicant from eligibility for withholding, but for the immutable characteristic rule, meaning that he's never.
What if his social group was that he was formerly had received a traffic ticket in El Salvador, and now El Salvador has decided that anybody who ever received a traffic ticket really ought to be executed in order to deter rampant traffic violations. So would your argument be that he would not be entitled to asylum?
No, Your Honor. And just to clarify one point, the petitioner in this case is ineligible for asylum, as he's conceded. The only relief...
Withholding of...
I apologize. As to your hypothetical, no, in that case, because, well, first and foremost, the petitioner's actions were not violent, and second of all...
Oh, violent? I thought criminal was the criterion.
Well, I believe in Arteaga, and as this court, excuse me, as the board cited to Arteaga, it was the criminal violent behavior that was the crux of the issue.
Violent, not criminal, violent.
Both violent and criminal.
A violent criminal act. So you think the board has created a kind of non-statutory exception? Anyone who was a member of a group that engaged in violent criminal acts?
Not a non-statutory exception, Your Honor, just that violent criminal behavior cannot be a characteristic that is so immutable that it's fundamental to your conscience or identity.
No, that's a complete misunderstanding. No. Membership in a criminal gang is not membership in a social group, because you can change. There's no immutable characteristic. You just quit the gang. It's being a former gang member. That's the immutable characteristic. You can never change the fact that you were a gang member. And so the question is whether, because it was a gang rather than because of something legal like the Attorney General's office, there is an absolute bar against asylum or, you know, withholding of removal. So suppose this person had been a member of a criminal gang, criminal acts, and he had been punished, and he had been released, but now the country has decided, well, these people weren't punished enough, so we're going to give them additional punishment. In fact, we're going to torture them, and that'll have a more effective, greater deterrent effect.
Well, in that case, Your Honor, he would not be required to establish his membership in a particular social group because the Convention Against Torture does not require...
Torture, that what?
It's not require membership of any as a statutory ground.
Criminal acts, now he's going to be sent back and he's going to be punished anew. And so is it your view, even the very severe punishment, even the execution, I don't know if that's torture, there have been debates about that, But can he seek even if it is torture? The Convention Against Torture provides less protection than either asylum or withholding of removal.
That is correct, Your Honor. But there's still deferral of removal under the Convention, even for a criminal.
Could I?
But you haven't answered my question. So don't haggle over these little details. Is it your position that if a person has been a member of a criminal gang, he can never invoke the social group ground for asylum because it was criminal rather than legitimate?
Well, just to clarify your hypothetical, are we still talking about the person with the parking ticket, or are we talking about a gang member who was...
He belonged to a gang that committed criminal acts. He may not have committed violent acts, but the gang did.
Well, in the case of someone who did not, if the gang member specifically did not commit violent acts, then presumably under the Acosta test, he perhaps could establish his eligibility for withholding of removal.
Well, now you've tangled yourself into an impenetrable web. Because first you said, well, if it's a criminal gang, it can't be a social group. Now you've abandoned that. A criminal gang can be a social group as long as being a former member of a criminal gang can be a social group as long as he didn't personally commit violent acts.
Or in any way assist in violence.
Where do you get that stuff from?
It's from Arteaga. And no, Your Honor, respectfully, it's from the...
Well, what's the logic of it? So the logic of Sepulveda is if you're a former something, that's an immutable characteristic. And the question is, are you the former something of something that could be described as a group? In that case, it was employees of the Attorney General of Colombia. In this case, it's a gang.
Yes, Your Honor. I believe the difference...
And you're saying the fact that it was a gang doesn't mean that a former member can't be a member of a social group. As long as he didn't commit violent acts, he can be.
And
what is the logic
I retract
of
my
social
statement, Your Honor.
Groupiness?
It's as
you've agreed someone can be, a former gang member can be a member of a social group. You've agreed that to that. But now you're saying there's some exception based on his personal conduct.
I was in error, Your Honor. That is not what the Arteaga or EAG...
What is your position?
The position here, Your Honor, is as the Ninth Circuit in Arteaga held and the Board held a matter of EAG, that violent criminal past behavior...
Now, this is not personal behavior. This is just you belong to a gang that engaged in violent acts. You didn't engage in violent acts, but you were a member of the gang.
As according to Arteaga and matter of EAG, yes, it's just that membership in and of itself in a violent group would bar you from future.
No. But if it's not violent, but it's still criminal, a former member can still be a member of a social group.
Perhaps that issue is better to be developed by the board, Your Honor, because the alien in Arteaga was, in fact, a violent felon.
Could I just ask you this? He's a former gang member. The former gang members are now targeted by the gang. The only way that Mr. Ramos can safely return is to rejoin the gang. How can that be what Congress intended?
Well, first, Your Honor, according to Mr. Ramos, he'll never be able to rejoin the gang. According to the record, he repeatedly said that he... Just for leaving, there is no safe way for Mr. Ramos to rejoin the gang, according to his statements.
Well, of course not. Unless he removes his head, he has those tattoos across his forehead.
And respectfully, Your Honor, petitioner affirmatively waived that issue in his opening brief. He said the tattoos were not part of his social group, defining his social group.
Well,
let me ask you in that connection, what is your understanding of the concept of social visibility, which the board likes a lot? What does that mean? We have had trouble figuring out what that means.
Well, first, Your Honor, the court need not reach that issue in this case.
Would you just answer my question?
Yes, Your Honor. Social visibility is a means, as in matter of CA, as affirmed by 11th Circuit, it's a way of further specifying or...
Could you explain what it means skip the preludes?
It's a way of...
Not it's a way of. What does it mean?
It means, Your Honor, that the group has to have to be discreet and identifiable, not just...
Discreet is not social visibility. What does social visibility mean?
It means that the group possesses characteristics that the average person would be able to recognize in society.
But does that mean that if he has the tattoos, forgetting the question, suppose it was a legal gang that he belonged to, but he had tattoos. So is the notion that if he has the tattoos, that would make him visible, but if he doesn't have the tattoos, he's not visible? Is visibility literal, whether someone can recognize this person when he sees him? Is that the point?
No, Your Honor. It need not be a physical attribute. It could also perhaps be behavior or some kind of identifying.
But does it have to be... Okay, forget about the behavior. But if it's... Or include behavior. But does it have to be that there's something about this person that... a stranger seeing him in the street would realize that he belonged to some sort of group. Like if he was a religious Jew or something, he'd have a yarmulke and payas and all sorts of things. So he'd be very recognizable. Or a Christian wearing a cross, something like that. Or someone wearing with some tattoos on his face. Is that the sort of thing that... You have to be Or maybe if it's behavior or speech or something like that, or accent, what have you. But does it have to be something that is discernible to a stranger? A stranger looks at you and he sees this person, or hears you, or what have you, and says this person belongs to X group.
Yes, Your Honor, I believe that you aptly describe how the board holds it, particularly, I believe, in...
That, of course, is preposterous. That was rejected in Getimi. That would mean, for example, that when you have persecution of women who don't want to have, you know, female genital mutilation, they can't belong to a social group because there's nothing you see, and they don't look different from anybody else.
Well, yes, Your Honor, but with respect, this court need not disturb the board's decision based on Getimi because it has also...
You're not answering my question. Well, it wasn't a question. It's a search. Isn't it ridiculous to say that to be a member of a social group, you have to be identifiable in the street by a stranger?
No, Your Honor. How else would you... the group is social in nature, it has to...
Are you saying every... Now, wait a second. If you're a member of a book group, then when you walk down the street, people say, oh, he belongs to that book group.
Yes, Your Honor, but there would have to be something about the book group that would...
But no, your proposition is that to be a member of a social group, a stranger looking at you or hearing your voice or something in the street would identify you as a member of the group. And you say that's the board's position.
Yes, Your Honor. It has to be recognizable and discreet.
We rejected it in Getimi.
And again, Your Honor, as I was trying to suggest earlier,
What about the book group case?
The board's decision need not be remanded based on Getimi because the board applied the Acosta test.
So you're really thinking a book group couldn't be a social group because people belonging to a book group don't look different from other people.
But that's not the facts of this case, Your Honor.
Of course it's not.
Right, but that's something best left for the agency to define in the first instance.
Listen to me. You accept the board accepts Sepulveda. Now, these former members of the Attorney General's office, they didn't walk around the streets of Colombia with signs on them saying, I'm a former member of the Attorney General's office. There was nothing about them that made them look different from anybody else.
Yes, Your Honor.
But you say that they couldn't be members of a social group because a stranger would not identify them as a member of this group.
But Sepulveda was decided before the social visibility requirement was developed by the board. Therefore, it was not applied in that case.
What are you talking about?
I believe it was decided in 2006, Your Honor. I don't think the board applied the social visibility.
You said that Sepulveda, which treated these people as members of a social group, you say that the board accepts that.
Well, the board accepts that a group can be defined as former members of a previous group. They implicitly accepted that by adopting Arteaga. But as for Sepulveda, Your Honor, that was the board didn't apply the social visibility requirement in that case because Sepulveda was decided before the social visibility requirement was developed.
So under current law, your view is Sepulveda is incorrectly decided?
No, not at all, Your Honor. I was just pointing
out. What is the social group in Sepulveda?
I believe it was former members of the Attorney General's office.
You're not visible to anybody.
But the board was not required to reply to social visibility.
Today, suppose that case arises today.
That's best left for the board to address in the first instance.
Answer my question.
I can't, Your Honor. That's something for...
Answer my question. If that case arises today, what would the board do?
I can't do that, Your Honor. I apologize. That's something for the board to address
but
in the first instance.
But you told me that the board's position is that the members of the group have to be identifiable to a stranger on the case. You've told me what you think the board's position.
That's a point of law, Your Honor. What you're talking... Social visibility is a point of law, which I can discuss. You're getting into a specific factual situation which has not been presented to the board under the social visibility requirement. This is something best left for the board to adjudicate in the first instance, not for us to decide on appeal.
But you believe that social visibility requires that a person be identifiable by a stranger, and that would exclude the Sepulveda petitioners.
That's for the board to address in the first instance, Your Honor.
Well, it's just a simple matter of logic. You believe that the member of the social group has to be identifiable by a stranger in the street.
As the general...
If you apply that principle to Sepulveda, of course, former members of the Attorney General's office are not members of a social group, right?
Your Honor...
What's the logic of your position?
The general legal proposition of social visibility has been enunciated by the board. You're applying the law to specific facts which have not been addressed by the board. I can't do that. It's not the Department of Justice can't address that in the first instance. Respectfully, I can't answer the question.
That's nonsense. But anyway, you don't want to answer, you don't have to answer it. So thank you, Mr. Hogan.
Thank you.
So Ms. Valenzuela, do you have anything further?
Just three very quick points, Your Honor. To the extent that it's not clear if the board relied on a social visibility test in this case, which has been rejected by this court, we ask that this court remand the case so that the board can apply a test that is legally sound and reasoned. In terms of the court's concern, the court raises a good concern here, which is that the policy-based rule could cast a very wide net and entrap or prevent individuals with legitimate claims from being able to seek asylum or withholding of removal. For example, the petitioner in Gatimi might never have been able to prove that he was a member of a particular social group. Finally, as to the issue of the tattoos on that Mr. Ramos has testified to having, that would go towards his burden. He would still have to meet other elements to merit withholding of removal, including showing that it would be more likely than not that he would be persecuted upon return to El Salvador. Thank you, and we ask that this court, for these reasons, we ask that the court remand the case to the agency so that it can consider Mr. Benitez's claim under a proper rule. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Valenzuela, and thank you, Mr. Hogan.